The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. The prayer for the 16th Sunday after Trinity. Lord of creation, whose glory is around and within us, open our eyes to your wonders, that we may serve you with reverence and know your peace at our life's end. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." The Lord replied, "If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you would say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. Who among you would say to your slave who has just come in from ploughing or tending sheep in the field, 'Come here at once and take your place at the table'? Would you not rather say to him, 'Prepare supper for me, put on an apron and serve me while I eat and drink, and later you may eat and drink'? Do you thank the slave for doing what he commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, 'We are worthless slaves. We have done only what we ought to have done.' This is the gospel of the Lord. I wonder if you have ever done something that seemed impossible to do, or you've seen someone else do the impossible. I thought we'd have a go this morning, although, slight disclaimer, I couldn't do this when I tried. I still can't, what we're about to have a go at. Laura and Clara can. I don't really understand it. So, we will see how this goes. So, if you'd like to join in, you need to put your hands together so your fingers are all touching, like so. And then you're going to take your middle finger and fold it down. So it's like so. So in theory, you can take your thumb apart while everything else stays together. You can do your index finger. That should be fairly simple. You should be able to do your little finger. What should be impossible is your ring finger. With all the others still stuck together, can you separate? There's a genetic thing, I think, with Laura and Clara, to be fair. Some genetic thing that's passed down. Because I can't do it. They apparently can. We were doing this in the car yesterday while sat in traffic, and I'm like, how are you doing this? I don't understand. Because I can't pull my ring finger as much as I want to apart from everywhere else. For me, anyway. That is an impossible thing to do, which is all based down on the fact that your middle and your ring finger share a tendon. So that's why you can't move it when your middle finger is down, because they share a tendon. It's much, much harder to move, which I thought was impossible. Apparently not for everybody. Sorry? Can anybody else do that? One person at the front. Do you feel slightly better now? Yeah, yeah. There are, so if you don't have them all the way down, your middle finger, you can just about move it, but it's nigh on impossible for most of us. But in our gospel reading today, Jesus speaks of the impossible happening, of a mulberry bush being uprooted and planted into the sea, which is impossible. And why would you do it? What would be the point of uprooting a tree to plant it in the sea where it would just sink to the bottom of the ocean? And yet this is the example that Jesus uses when the apostles ask him to increase their faith. In the reading that we had from the Gospel of Luke is actually two separate readings. The lectionary that we go by for our readings every Sunday, they just give us bite-sized chunks of the Gospels as we go through the three different years. And sometimes they're not related to each other. Which, given that chapter 17 is entitled Some Sayings of Jesus, it may well mean that they have been things that Jesus said, but they weren't necessarily related to each other, or there was more of a conversation around what was said, which is very likely. But these are the bits that were fitted into the title of Some Sayings of Jesus. We have verse 5 and 6 talking about the faith the size of a mustard seed. And then we have verses 7 to 10 talking about slaves and about them doing the work that is expected of them and them not expecting any thanks for it. The last bit is not an easy read with the use of the word slave. Slaves were common in Greco-Roman world, but not so much in the Jewish households. And around the time, and in the Gospels of Matthew and Luke, the word slave is used 30 times or more. And for us reading that today, the picture we may well have is of someone who is not valued, of someone who is not paid enough, someone who has no rights. We hear about modern slavery that still happens today, even in this country, where people are forced to work. They don't get paid what they are owed for that work. And there's no freedom for them to leave or to go anywhere else. Listeners to The Archers will recall the storyline a few years ago that played out over many months about Philip Moss, who had three men working for him who were trapped in modern-day slavery. And to begin with, there seemed to be nothing unusual about what was going on. But it all soon began to unravel more and more as more was revealed about what these three men were being asked to do. They were not always being fed. They were kept hidden away. They had no freedom to leave at any point. Modern-day slavery is something that exists in our world. But when we read it about slavery and slaves in the context of Luke, and when it was written over 2,000 years ago, slaves were used. We can't change the history that we have, but we can look to eliminate it today for those who are caught up in modern-day slavery. The group who request Jesus to increase their faith are mentioned as apostles, which is thought that Luke is referring to just 12 rather than the larger group of followers that are mentioned. To which we get that response, if you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree. Faith, according to the dictionary, is to have great trust or confidence in something or someone. And according to Jesus, even having the smallest amount of faith is enough to move mountains or a mulberry bush to the sea. The smallest amount of faith can cause the seemingly impossible to happen. We heard Valerie read from Lamentations this morning, where the writer is in the depths of despair about all that is happening to Jerusalem at that time, and yet still is able to say, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." God's faithfulness to us is great, and the love God has for us never ceases. Faith is a relationship of love and trust. We do not know what the future holds, but we trust and have faith that the God that we worship, the God who we will serve, will continue to be the God who will be there for us, because his love never stops. In the New Testament reading, we heard how Timothy was known for his sincere faith, faith that lived first in his grandmother Lois and in his mother Eunice, and now in him. For them, faith had been passed down through the generations by, I would imagine, how they lived their lives and how they treated others. Faith isn't something to be compared to another person's or who has more of it. Faith, as one commentator put it, just is. It's something that we have, not because of anything that we have done particularly. And there aren't better Christians than us because they have more faith than us. But faith just is. It's just trusting in God and the promises that he has for us. But what do we do with that faith from day to day? What difference does it make to our lives? In the book of James, in the Bible, we read this from chapter 2. "What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but do not have works? Can faith save you? If a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm, and eat your fill, and yet you do not supply their bodily needs, what is the good of that? So faith by itself has no works. If it has no works, is dead. If the faith that we have in God makes no difference to our lives, what's the point? Faith and action go hand in hand. One of my biggest fears when I plan an event, or have done in previous years, is that nobody is going to come. Always worry about that, and they always do. But it often doesn't come true, but people do come along and attend what I have planned. But I have to have faith that people will turn up and will take part in whatever is going on. It takes faith to go and to do something, and that will be different for each one of us. But what's important is that the faith that we have in God impacts what we do and don't do in our daily tasks and lives. So if your faith today is the size of a mustard seed or the size of an elephant, know this, that God can use us, whether our faith is big or small. So as we gather around the communion table this morning, where you come forward to receive a blessing or to receive communion, bring with you that faith that you have, be it the size of a mustard seed or the size of an elephant or something somewhere in between, and ask God to help you to use it to do the seemingly impossible. Amen.